Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Our next guest. It's been 30 years since Linda Sweeney won the 1981 Ironman World Championship. Linda, can you believe it's been 30 years?
No, honestly, I can't. I think I said once before, I don't count the years. It's impossible to believe that it was 30 years ago, actually. Strange to even say that. Yeah.
So, Linda, what was your athletic background? What going into grammar school, high school? Were you a runner? What was your primary goal?
I started out as a competitive swimmer in high school, and then after that, I got into running and biking. I would never call myself a biker. I just sort of biked so I could do the Ironman, but I would say primarily swimming and then running.
And where'd you grow up?
I grew up in various places, but really I went to high school and college in Tucson, Arizona.
And how did you find out about this Ironman thing?
You know, it's so funny because I found out about it just like so many people by, I'm not sure if it was a TV show, it must have been a TV show or something like that about Tom Warren, of all people.
Right.
And I remember reading that or watching it, 30 years ago, I can't remember exactly. But I remember thinking, that is ridiculous. That is stupid. I mean, all of that stuff. But for people that are kind of prone to this kind of thing, I mean, it's a certain mindset of a person that likes these really long, difficult, weird things to do. And that seed was planted, and then probably within a month or two, it just dawned on me as what a great thing. I bet I could do that kind of thing.
And this was back in the day where you could basically just track this thing down, send it a check, and you were in. You didn't have to qualify or anything.
Not at all. You just send in your check. Mostly, the big thing was finding some way to get there, because at that point I was in college, and go find to Hawaii. I didn't have a bike. There were a few logistical concerns. And I remember just sort of shaking the trees, trying to find a sponsor. And, but once you're determined, you sort of have it in your mind you're going to do it. And of course, at that age, none of the negatives occurred to me at all.
You just knew you were going to get there, and you knew you were going to do it.
Yeah, that was it. Like, oh, okay, I think I'll do that. And everything just fell into place to do it.
And at that time, you were dating, I don't think you were married yet, you were dating Tom Hunt, who went on to become American record holder at 10,000 meters.
Yes.
And now, was he instrumental? Did you guys meet running down in Arizona?
Yes, we did, as a matter of fact. I remember, I don't really remember, again, sound like a nut, I don't remember. How did we meet? Yes, I'm sure it was something to do with a running event. And, he was extremely supportive. He didn't know what this event was either, really. It was
right.
Sort of a kind of a lark. And very, very supportive and helped me train. And, we were just making it up because we were saying, well, okay, if you're going to have to, it was just, there was no training theory other than I was super fit and I was a good athlete. I would say Tom was a world-class athlete.
Right.
I was a good athlete. And I think as a good athlete with a lot of endurance ability, you could do it. Anybody could do it if you just put your mind to it. It was that kind of thing.
And
we were making up the training.
I was going to say, so what type of training were you doing? Were you going out on the bike, and was Tom following you on a moped? What the heck were you doing?
No, I remember I would always do two things a day. That was the minimum that I would do. I would always, almost every day, run. Oh, no, not almost. I remember running every day, and then I would swim or bike. I was very committed to swimming. I loved to swim. The bike was one of those things I sort of made myself do. There weren't biking groups. There was nobody to teach you how to do it. I mean, I'm sure there were people like that, but it wasn't readily available. Whereas I found people that would help me with running, and I had been a competitive swimmer, so I knew a lot about that. But biking, I just thought, you can just hop on the bike and just pedal.
And where did you get your bike? Did you just go to a local bike store?
I had kind of an old junker, really, probably along the... I'm not sure if yours was better or mine.
Mine was pretty crappy.
Probably mine was a little better than yours, and mine was pretty bad. And And, it was like a $50 bike, or someone gave me a bike, the kind of bike that I rode around on. And then I remember shortly before Ironman, Tom got me the Centurion.
It's a Centurion. It's sitting in my living room.
I believe a $300 bike, which was quite pricey. And I didn't know much about it. I really did not know how to shift the gears. I'm sure I've told you this before, but I did the whole Ironman in... That's right, two gears.
What,
because I knew one and I knew the other, and I thought, well, these kind of work, and I didn't really know. And then the other part was, the part about not considering the negatives at all.
Yeah.
I remember reading the application for Ironman, and it said net elevation change zero. Now, in my mind...
No climbing.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
It's flat. And so none of this occurred to me, and I got out there, and I was, well, as you know.
It goes up, and it goes down.
Oh, my God, yes. It was quite, quite different.
So did you get out on the course, how soon before the race did you get there?
Probably maybe a day. I didn't really, because denial is good, and once I was kind of looking around, and I thought, it's going to be better for me not to know. I just need to go out there, and if I know, I could... flip, which means I knew in my mind, because obviously I had the premonition in my mind that this was not good, and I didn't really want to see it because it would have probably, I would have had a very negative...
Yeah, if you drove the course ahead of time, you would have been like, there's no way I can ride this.
There's no way I can do this. And so it was better to just go blind at it. Yeah.
So really, you got there like a day or two before the
yes.
race. Day or two before the race, you didn't ride the course, probably didn't drive the course, except for driving in from the airport.
And that was it. And I was kind of looking around... and same thing with the heat, hadn't really taken that into consideration. It's really a powerful thing, denial, to just not
it's
know.
Good.
And
yep.
just kind of blindly.
I can
you
relate.
Probably did the exact same
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. I thought you did the thing in 2 days. I was planning to sleep and camp out and ride back
the next
day.
2 days, groceries are involved.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. I thought you camped out after riding 56, camped out. Rode back the next day and did the marathon. I had no idea you did the thing.
I know. It was such a different, it just was a different event.
Right.
And people saw it differently. Although, everybody took it seriously.
Right.
And
no,
they did.
It wasn't a joke.
I wasn't out there to mess around. Once I got it and once I saw it, and I had been a competitive athlete, I was going to push myself and do this thing all out. I wasn't just out there on a lark.
If somebody had said beforehand, hey, Linda, you're probably going to win this thing, would you have been like, are you high?
Yes, I would have said, are you high? Because I didn't know who anybody in the race, I had no idea who was there.
Right.
Now, I had enough to know that I wouldn't have even gone if I thought I was going to, be last or something.
I had some
idea that, hey, I think I could do pretty well at this.
Well, Sally Edwards, Lynn Brooks. I mean, these were at that time, even back then, they were sort of endurance sports legends.
Yes.
These were gals who had done ultras and done Western States and things along that line.
Right. And so I felt very confident in my swimming, so I thought, well, we'll just see how this goes. And I didn't really assess the competition. This is probably a good lesson for the rest of my life, because once you get too much info, then you start talking yourself out of things. I'm just listening to myself as I'm saying this.
But what's interesting, when I look at the splits from it, you had a 102 swim, and Sally Edwards was like 128, and Lynn Brooks was 120, and the next person was like 111, 108. So you had a pretty good gap out of the water.
Yes. Was there somebody? There was nobody ahead of me. Was I?
Well, there might have been somebody who dropped
back. There was someone ahead of me, I think.
There might have been someone ahead of you who finished out of the top. Who
yes.
blew up on the bike or whatever.
She did blow up on the bike, as it turns out. And I think there's an equipment malfunction of some kind. But So I mean, to me, swimming was very easy, and I did know that if you weren't a good swimmer, it's just a bad start.
Right.
Nowadays. I think probably everybody's a pretty good swimmer.
Everybody's a great swimmer.
Yeah, they don't mess it. You couldn't do it if you were like a two-hour swimmer.
No. So what do you think was your longest bike ride going into this thing?
Oh, you know what? Did I do that before or after? Probably, I don't know, maybe I'm just making this up, 40 or 50 miles.
I'm trying to
think if I did one long bike ride, probably maybe one.
Yeah.
It's kind of I'm sort of thinking that there was a some sort of a bike-a-thon or something
right.
that went from Tucson to Phoenix.
Yep.
And that's kind of ringing a bell suddenly that I probably did that.
And what did you eat and drink during the race? And did you have any issues with the heat? Because you're, I mean, being in Arizona, obviously, you're dealing with heat.
Yeah, except for the fact that, that's what I thought, too. I can handle the heat. You know, again, it's a completely different thing when you're in Hawaii. It's humid.
Right.
And there, remember, it was February. So
yes.
It was, and I don't like really training in the heat. So even in Arizona, I would always get up really early and run. And then when it's February, it's, you know, pretty cool.
It's cool there, right?
Yeah, so but then again, you know, I also have that mindset, hey, it's just one day, and I can, you know, sort of manage this for a day. And I had whatever they have out on the course,
right,
pretty much, as far as food and drinks.
And
I remember drinking Gator. I remember drinking a lot on the bike. Thought that was really important. And I didn't have any problems with, you know, being lightheaded I felt fueled up. I was fine. That was not a non-issue.
And in terms of the equipment on that bike, you had a basket on the front.
Yes, I did. Well, I, again, like you, we did not know what we might face out there on the
exactly.
course. You don't know what could happen.
Yeah.
So we were prepared. And also, in all fairness, there was no backup, really. I mean, if you did need something, you were on your own. So,
exactly. You had to carry spares and things like that.
Yes. And so I remember, you know, I had just dumb stuff. Now, of course, when I look at it, like I had a... not a full size beach towel, but it was probably like a shower type size.
So
towel.
You had a towel in there. It was that the towel you used to wipe off after the swim.
Yes.
Yeah. And so you put it.
And I had it. You know why? I don't know. I didn't think about the weight of it or anything. I thought I could use it. I might need this. I don't know. I might need it. And I had, you know, my tape player.
Right.
And
the cassette player. Yeah.
And
what type of music?
Yeah. Oh, all kinds. I remember the one that I really remember was. I mean, I had the Tubes and the Who.
Right.
And probably some Blondie, you know, that kind of thing. White punks on dope.
Nice.
That was one I really remember, that song, yeah.
And so you wore a headset?
I had, I don't think I had a headset.
Okay, just music
I
coming out of there.
I played it. So it was pretty loud, you know.
Yeah,
it was
kind of
nice to have it going. I'm sure others didn't. Well, of course, there's nobody around me.
Nobody around.
Yeah.
I mean, was Tom out there I remember him on a moped.
Yes.
But I think, was that there in the bike and the run?
Yes, you know, it was funny because back they let you
do whatever you wanted.
He rented a moped. He thought, well, I'm going to be the course photographer. So he goes out on the moped, and he was always ahead. I would come, you know, going by on the bike or something. I'd see him hanging from a tree or, you know,
did
something.
Tom take photos out there?
Good shots. And then, of course, the moped blew out there on the lava fields, and he had to get, I don't know, somebody picked him up with a truck or... so he sort of, at some point, disappeared. I don't know what happened to him, but there was a moped problem.
So he took photos?
Yes. Very good photos, actually.
I've never seen those.
They're really good. In slides at the time.
Oh, wow. Oh, I might have to track some of that from
him.
Okay, so then you're riding a bike, and from what I'm guessing, you're with your 653, I think you might have been one of the only people who went under 7 hours for that bike ride. You had a good bike ride.
I had a good bike ride, although, I mean, among the women.
Yes, I'm talking
now,
about
obviously,
yeah.
Because I think, I don't know, didn't John Howard do 4 hours?
Oh, yeah. No, John went 503 or something, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, there was, I think Sally Edwards was just under 3, but you went, I mean, just under 7.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you outsplit everybody else, so you're still, at that point, I think you're leading.
Yes, I was. And it was, you know, when you think back on it, actually, that was getting fun, although I realized... Wow, I have 26.2, so I wasn't really thinking, because I didn't know who was behind me, you know, no idea, this could be a really good runner behind me or something like that. And I remember getting off the bikes, or when I was biking, nowadays they probably push the whole time, but I remember thinking, I'm going to have to want to run. I'm
sure.
going to have to want to run, so let's not go too crazy on the bike.
Right.
And but it was that kind of thinking, it wasn't scientific.
Right.
It was more sort of perceived exertion. I thought, you know, okay, I can't just totally blow it out on the bike.
Well, and at the same time, you still ran a 404 for the marathon, so you were pretty
reasonable.
You were really consistent. Yeah, absolutely.
I guess it was pretty reasonable. Yeah. Now it seems so slow, because a lot of people, not a lot, but people do occasionally ask, what were your splits, or what was your time? And I always want to add the caveat, but it was totally different.
Totally,
you know,
different. It's an adventure.
It just
who knew?
So slow now, you know?
I mean, this was really the fourth ever.
Yeah.
Event. So people really didn't know what they... It was still an adventure. Most people didn't know what they were doing, and people didn't know how to get there, how to sign up for the thing. It was... Like, you go online and go, okay, I'm going to go sign up for this thing. I remember trying to track down this
form.
John Collins guy to send in an application. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So you do, I mean, so when people, it's not fair. They shouldn't be able to ask your times and your splits, and then they go, oh, okay, 12 hours.
You know what? All you got to do is say, I won the Ironman World Championship. Now, what I think I remember once you're one of those people, when you look at the people who came after you, even, you know, Joanne Ernst and Paul Enby Frazier and folks like that, the people know those names.
Yeah.
Linda Sweeney is like you said, sort of a footnote. After you...
Yes.
So as you're coming towards the finish of this thing, and you're finishing in 12 hours, so it's dark at that point.
It was dark.
So you're finishing in the dark, mm-hmm. and you're winning the race. Mm-hmm. I mean, how excited were you?
Actually, that was exciting. And, you know, it's one of those things you really don't forget, because I don't dwell on it or think, but whenever I do, I think, you know, that was really fun. I remember thinking, not that this is a great big deal, but it was fun. It was just a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to win, cross first, that kind of thing. But I had no idea of the significance, if there was any or if there is any. But it was, you know, it's always a thrill.
And so you win the thing, and now was Tom able to get his moped fixed and get you out in the ride
yes.
course?
Then we both rented mopeds, I remember, the next day and drove around the island and stuff like that. So he got a different one. And
was he out there during the run?
Yeah. No, because something happened on the bike. Although somehow he was in the town, because we got some really good running photos.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So you win this race, mm-hmm. and for a lot of people, you say, hey, you won the Ironman, how'd it change your life? Oh, my God, it changed everything.
Right.
Did it change a thing for you?
Not really, because very few, people were starting to know what it was, but it was not like it is now, you know. Maybe it changes how you see yourself, and, you know, other people put a lot on it. They'll say, oh, wow, Ironman, you know. And But I didn't think of it that way. I just thought it was a really fun thing to do, believe it or not. I mean, you know. It was,
absolutely.
It is, isn't it? I mean,
absolutely, yeah. Now, did you continue? Here you are, the Ironman champion. Did you go back to defend your title?
I did not. What happened was I was training for the next one, yes.
Yes.
And then I got... stress, you know, a couple different injuries,
yep.
Somewhat in a couple of months before the next one.
Right.
Because the next one was going to be
February
shorter,
of 82.
Right? So my reign was not even that long. I only went from February to October, because then they switched it to October. And somewhere, I think, if I'm saying that, if I have it.
No,
right,
you know what? It actually went February to February 82, and then it went to October.
Oh, did it?
Yeah. So you had a full year, but you were injured.
I had a full year. My gosh, there you go. What was the question again?
you were training for that year, but you had injuries and couldn't get to the starting line.
And then we moved, Tom and I moved to Eugene, Oregon, and I got really into running up there.
Right.
And I sort of, you know, there's a lot of rain and all that, and I did a lot of swimming and running, but I sort of got out of the triathlon world, and I was going to, you know, get into marathoning. I was just going to run. And I ran a ton up there. I really did like Oregon. But, and then when I came back to San Diego, I didn't really feel like racing. I mean, in all honesty, I'm a person, I love to train.
Right.
I love to work out. And some people train so they can race.
Yep.
They love it. They love the racing.
Yeah,
the training is a big pain to them. To me, it's the opposite.
You love the training.
I love to train. And the race is something you sort of have to do to get to train.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to justify it.
Exactly.
Are you that way?
I love the race.
I love the race.
Training is sort of an unnecessary evil. I try to train as little as humanly possible.
I think that there really are the two types, you know,
yeah.
the people that just love to train, and this is, gives them a kind of a cover for that. And or have you found that? Do you think most people
absolutely.
Now that win, they
No, I think you're absolutely right, because for me, racing is like a catered workout. I don't look at it as, oh my God, this is stressful or anything like that. So, you know,
because you go out there and there's food out there.
They're
and
food
everything.
And they're giving me a T-shirt and they're giving me a medal.
Yeah.
So every time I go and do a workout on a weekend, I get all sorts of stuff.
Yeah,
so it makes me want to do
that
it.
That is a great way to look at it.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So I don't look at it as, oh my God, it's stressful and, you know, I'm racing and got to put my A game. I don't care about that stuff.
Because people are very, very serious. When I've gone back
time.
A couple of times, you know, as they have those reunions,
yeah.
Wow, people are deadly serious. Even people, to me, they all look like, oh my God, is that somebody? They all look perfect.
I know.
And cut and tough. And it's just such a different world and very, very serious.
Now, did you ever do another triathlon?
I just little ones, but I never did another Ironman.
Never. So you're one Ironman. One for one.
Which is kind of weird. You know, you would think I would have wanted to repeat it or keep going, and I did there for a while, but like I said, then I got into running, and then I just kind of admitted that I loved to train and that the racing was not...
It was inconvenient.
It was inconvenient. Though I like the catered thing. I hadn't thought that
through.
See,
the catered
is
good.
A way to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That is so cool. Yeah. And so when you look back on 30 years, and you know, hey, have you been, I'm sure over the years, you're at a cocktail party and conversation and, you know, what do you do? I mean, has the Ironman thing ever come up?
I'm sorry,
go ahead. Has the Ironman ever come up?
Oh, yeah. It does, or somebody will know. I don't bring it up because it just seems, you know.
Like a different era.
Oh, by the way, you know, how do you work that into a...
Oh, I'd figure it out.
Do you find a way to work it in?
I would. Well, if I won the Ironman, I would be... First,
it's
I'd
like
be wearing...
Harvard. You know,
I'd be wearing...
Yeah. I keep mentioning Harvard, but...
I'd be wearing my medal, you know. I'd be wearing my Ironman medal. And what did you get for winning the Ironman that year?
Well, it got the giant trophy. And you know what's funny? It was in my closet. I recently moved, and it was in my closet, just, I mean, covered in dust, and in the back of a closet. And so I now, believe it or not... I just moved like a month ago, and I have it sitting in front of the fireplace. And
it's just a monstrosity.
And it's
a big wooden thing,
adorable,
right?
Though.
It's a big wooden thing, isn't it?
It's a big wooden thing with three giant circles.
And, now, does it still say Nautilus on it rather than
Nautilus.
Ironman? It doesn't say Ironman. It just says Nautilus Triathlon.
Nautilus Triathlon.
That is the funniest thing.
I know.
We may have to get a photo of you with that. That is pretty cool.
And it's pretty hefty.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I remember that
you're
seeing those things. I posed with those before the race. They had them on display down at the Kona Surf.
And then some, I don't know, what is that wood?
Yeah, it's like a koa.
Yes, some kind of Hawaiian wood. I mean, it's actually kind of unique and special that way, and it's held up. The thing looks great.
So the cool part, like you said, it's not one of those things you bring up. But when it does come up, and I'm sure you're with somebody who says, oh, did you know that Linda won the Ironman?
Yes.
I bet you the reaction is, she what?
Yes.
Is that,
it's ridiculous. It actually is. It's kind of like, oh, wow. Oh, you're kidding. Oh, and that's the part where I feel, I don't feel like a pretender or anything, but it's just, I honestly feel that anybody could do it. You keep putting one foot in front of the other and you just keep going. But, there is a reverence for it and an awe of it, and I should... And I think I would probably do the same thing. You know, I feel that way about the other triathletes. That's what I'm saying. I feel sort of like a pretender. If in some of those group photos, you know, I look at them and Paula Newby Fraser is
Natasha Bodman.
What am I doing in this picture? She does it. This is ridiculous. I have, you know, I kind of go through that, but because I think those people, I say, wow.
Yeah. So I thought I remember there was a conversation, I don't remember where it was, where there was some guy who was an astronaut something like that. Tell me that story.
Yes, yes. Well, I went, a friend of mine is, believe it or not, now unfortunately there is no more shuttle, but he was a shuttle pilot, and I went back with him to a launch, and, you know, because he also has done Ironman, I'm sure you can find it in the records, he's done a number of Ironman, he's actually done pretty well at it, and so for him, he is in awe of the winners of Ironman, you know, because, wow, those guys. So he knows all the names and everything else. And then when he was just telling everybody that I had won Ironman. And here I am in these astronaut parties. and all of them, you know, I met people that had been on the space station three times. And they were having the exact same reaction.
They were like, oh, my God, you did the Ironman.
Yes.
And here they were drinking Tang out in space.
Yes, and they were thinking... that's what they were thinking. They felt in awe or
of
inadequate.
You.
And I had that reaction.
You're like, what?
You're a nuclear engineer. I mean, you're a real rocket scientist. You know,
Harvard was your safety school.
Exactly.
That is
so
funny.
So it was. I thought quite. That part amazed me, and that's when you realize, wow, you know, that's a big deal. But I still see myself and it the same way. And I look back on it really fondly, but it does not seem that long ago.
30
not
years.
At all.
30 years.
Can you believe that?
No.
Think about what you were doing 30 years ago. It does. It seems like
It
seems like 2 years ago.
It doesn't seem that long ago. And just being there. And that was the first year on Kona.
Mm-hmm.
And when people listen and they go, wait, she didn't check out the course ahead of time. She didn't do a training camp over there. Mm-hmm. She didn't do the training Bible and know how many calories per hour to take.
No. And food and all of that other stuff. We just did, that looks good. I mean, there was no... maybe a little carbo loading.
Yeah.
A little of that.
Yeah,
we knew about that. You know.
But two gears.
Yeah, two gears.
So one on the big sprocket and one on the small sprocket?
Pretty much. I couldn't even tell you if that's a fact. I would say that I remember I had one gear for downhill and one for
uphill. Yeah. What I love is when you called me a number of years ago and were like, you know what, I got this bike and probably might throw it away, but you might want it. Somebody said you might want it.
And I know, because I was going to get rid of it.
Yeah.
I was going to get rid of
this
the bike.
This is a bike you won the
really
Ironman on.
Thing. You know, it's been sitting on the patio for years.
Side view mirror.
Yeah, hot in the mirror.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have tape, but it has some kind of, as I recall, some kind of brown wrap.
Yeah, it does have brown wrap on the handlebars.
Yeah.
Yeah. And no, I've got that in my living room.
You
it's
do?
Pretty, oh, yeah.
So what is your decor? I mean, do you have...
No, it's just, it's early Ironman stuff. I got all sorts of Ironman collectibles, and that bike is the centerpiece, man. It's sitting right there with the side view.
What about your bike? Is it there, too?
You know what?
Like an
idiot, I gave that bike to, at the time, my girlfriend's brother. And I'm kicking myself. Probably. And it had, I took my Radio Shack radio off and kept that. So I've got that. But
isn't that amazing how, I know you don't think of the value of it then at all, or that there would ever be any sentimental or historical value.
Yep, I know. But I think it's just it's really a great conversation starter. It's like, that bike right there won the 81 Ironman. Yeah, yeah. And she had a basket on the front.
And
had her towel in it.
I wonder if anyone else will give you their bike. Maybe.
Yeah, yeah. And what else did you have in that basket? So you had your tape player, cassettes.
I remember I had an empty, I had a water bottle. I didn't know, maybe I need an extra one.
Right.
The tapes,
your towel, your tapes, and your tape player.
The player. I'm not sure what else I don't think I maybe
that's funny.
I can't think of what else I had in there.
God. So when you look back at the obviously you were a really good runner too.
Yeah.
When you look back at the most important things that you've done in your life in terms of athletically, I mean Ironman's got to be right up there.
It really is actually. Although I must say there are it's the funny little things. Like I remember a race in Balboa Park, a cross country race, that 4 mile.
Yes.
And I remember when I first figured out how to really race it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
How to do that right. And at 4 mile, I mean, it's this little tiny 4 mile. You
but it's tough hills.
Four
oh,
miles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It doesn't take an Ironman. And I feel like the first time I did that little 4 mile, I thought I was going to die. And this is somebody, I'd already done Ironman. I thought, I'm going to die. I'm going to have to stop at the 2 miles.
And this is 4 miles.
And it's 4 miles. And so I thought, I really realized it's all about pace.
Yeah.
And I remember the next year when I did it, and I did really well, and I raced it just so smartly that I thought that was another one that I really remember. That and remember, I don't know if they still have the Balboa 4 mile and the
and
Balboa
8 mile.
8 mile.
8 miler with the Camelback Hills.
Yes.
That
and those are two
brutal
races that I really remember thinking I got that right on those, and that felt really good too.
And just think if you had an opportunity to go back to Kona back then, you would have done even better.
I know. Yeah. Every so often I do think about it. I go,
But you know what? There's something about one for one. There's something about...
Why mess with it?
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Why mess with the winning streak?
Uh-huh.
You're one for one. Who else can say that? They went
That's
once
true.
And won.
That
I don't,
is very
I don't
few,
think,
I'm sure. Because most everybody goes... I mean, I
absolutely
can't think of anyone that's won that wouldn't go back.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, multiple wins.
Exactly.
Actually.
Hey, Linda, thank you so much for taking time. I know you're at work, and it was very nice of you to take some time out to chat.
But
it's always good to catch up and connect, especially on something like the 81 Ironman. It's it's one of my favorites. That was my first time. Well, it was the first time on the Big Island of Hawaii, and that really helped to make that event go to the next level.
Isn't it? I know.
Cool. And then when you look back and just see where the sport has gone.
Oh, my God. Never could have imagined, honestly. Really, just the science of it, the magnitude. And, the last time I was there, I couldn't believe the international.
I know.
Nobody was speaking English. I mean, in all different languages.
What did
quite incredible.
What did your parents think when you said, hey, you know what? I'm going to go to Hawaii and do this thing.
Just like usual, what is she talking about? What is she talking about now?
Yeah, have fun, honey. Be safe. Don't hurt yourself.
That's it. They didn't know. They
and then
was,
when this thing
crazy
comes on television
yeah
and you're the one winning,
yeah
they must have been like, because it usually came on like 3-4 months after the race.
Yes, it did. And I remember they were, of course, once they sort of got onto it and they thought, oh, television. Well, okay, yeah. It's going to be on TV, so yeah. It must be good. But they didn't, you know, they really didn't know what it was either. And it was just another thing that they just sort of, you know, back in the, I mean, your parents didn't come to that much.
No.
Now parents come to everything. But
right.
I don't think they would have even thought to join me over there kind of thing. But
and quite frankly, you probably
wouldn't
have wanted them.
I wouldn't have wanted them.
Of course not.
No
You're
way.
In Hawaii.
I know.
That is the funniest.
I know.
Hey, Linda, thank you so much for your time.
You're
and we'll be chatting again.
Thank you, Bob.